you will always have this weakness that is also a strength, because it's also the people who manage to do a lot of great stuff, but the line is very fine until you have done too much and you're exhausted, or more than exhausted, you can become depressed. But so the important thing is to really be aware, self-aware of the symptoms and know yourself.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. I'm really pleased that you have joined us today. I have a really special guest that I'm going to be visiting with, Dr. Christina Radix. Christina is speaking to us from
Malaga, Spain.
Malaga, Spain. And it's interesting, I discovered Christina on LinkedIn, and I've been stalking you for a little while, Christina. Since we became friends, I've been watching your posts, and I really appreciate your posts. You have really good depth to the information that you share there. You do a lot of polling, and they're good questions. They're good polls. And thing that has drawn me to you, Christina, first, welcome to the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. It's a pleasure that I'm here with you. It's an honor for me to be speaking with you. Christina has a book that is going to be hitting the bookshelves here pretty quickly. She sent me the first chapter of her book last week for me to read. I thought it was just awesome, Christina. Share a little bit about your story, and then we'll start navigating the waters together, okay?
Well, yeah. That's a good question. Do you want the short? I will try to say the short version. I think when we're speaking about, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for inviting me. It's an honor, a pleasure to be here and to be able to tell my story. And hopefully I think I can help a lot of people. That's my mission. That's why I want to share my story. Not because of me, because I have already healed. I had got my own coaches and therapy. But I don't want other people to feel alone, because that's the feeling when we suffer from burnout or any other condition, that we feel alone. So I want to go back that I was born in Sweden, and my mother is from Greece, my father from Hungary, and their personalities are very different, which I like as well, because that makes my personality a little bit, I feel that I can speak with. So I can adapt to so many different people because I have seen in my own home these different personalities. But the negative part was they were arguing a lot. It was like walking on a minefield. Like every day they have discussions. And that does something with a child. That makes you have this tendency that you can become a perfectionist, you can become a people pleaser, because you're not in the first place and you have to adapt a lot. And when you see, for example, your mother sad, you take this mother position. You become a parent, formal parent. So, and that is really important to know and think about when we educate our dentists, because dentistry and my childhood feel so similar. It feels like they're minefields. It's like, we know how it is in dentistry. But before, I will just continue the story. So I don't have anyone in my family who are dentists, doctors. So, but I have had very good grades because I became this perfectionist, this good girl. Because that in those situations, when I behave, I noticed that I got attention. So unconsciously, I always wanted to be the best, the good one. But I wanted to have children as well. And that is another thing, that if you grow up in a stressful environment, you seek stress. You have a tendency to seek stress, even if it bothers you, but that's your comfortable zone. So I got children before I became a dentist. I knew I wanted to work with people, but I wanted to become a psychologist first. But because I wanted to have children, I felt, well, it's more secure to be a dentist. I didn't want to study more than 5 years. If not, I would maybe study to become a doctor, physician, but I chose the dentistry way. but I didn't know how it was. I didn't know anything about it, but it felt big. So I had two small children and studied their history, and I handled the stress because stress was my comfortable zone. So I was very structured and without any problems. And then I was living in Sweden. So then when I got my license, I went to Spain and started at the clinic there. And I started it from scratch. I didn't have any salary. Everything was based on the provision. So I had to work hard. So I prioritized the work a lot. Of course, I had my children, my family, but it was so important to get this, this amount of patients. And of course, it triggered the perfectionist. Dentistry triggers the perfectionist inside you. It's a profession where you have to be a perfectionist. And if you already have it in you, you will never be satisfied. After a treatment, I would go home and it would still be in my mind. So it was like my brain was working 24/7. It could never relax. I would always find something to think about. Or I was worrying of the past, or I was worrying of something that would happen. And why I'm telling this, it's so important to find these students or to speak about it, because not everyone will suffer from burnout. You can see the same characteristics of people who suffer from burnout. They have 9 characteristics according to Dr. Tim Cantor. I can really recommend this book. Depressive illness, the cures of the strong. Before the patient entered and he started an interview, he knew already the personality of that person. We are very high work moral. We value ourselves based on what people think. We can't really feel when to stop. We just give and continue. And we can't stop until it's too late. And it will always be in us. So yesterday I read an article that said, that it was this author. She wrote about burnout. And while she wrote the book, she got burnout. A coach coaching about burnout got burnout herself. And my husband the other day, now when I'm finishing the book, or not finishing, it's already finished, but with the layout of things to be published on Amazon, he said to me, "Christina, did you realize that you're lecturing about burnout, but I can see that you started to get the burnout yourself?" So you will always have these weaknesses that is also a strength, because it's also the people who manage to do a lot of great stuff, but the line is very fine until you have done too much and you're exhausted, or more than exhausted, you can become depressed. But so the important thing is to really be aware, self-aware of the symptoms and know yourself.
When did you first realize, Christina, that you were truly experiencing burnout? What was the first symptom, even though it may have been the slightest little hint? What was it that was telling you?
Yeah, for me, it was 2015. I had my own clinic. At the same time, we had some construction work at home. So there were a lot of things at the same time in my personal life at the clinic. So my brain was never resting. And that's the thing. It's like having a machine on all the time. And when I reacted was I could just start crying for nothing. I am a high sensitive person. I am very emotional and I'm happy to be, but it was different. It was the tears just came. It was like too much. I realized that this is not normal. I cannot be happy and crying all the time. And I went to psychologist because I wanted to know what is going on with me. I don't want to take medications. I know that there are situations when you need it, but I wanted to come to the root cause. I wanted to know why did this happen to me. And she asked me the same question. What was your first symptom, Christina? And I said, when I started to cry just like that from out of nowhere. And she said, that is a later symptom. She said, it starts earlier. But that is a sign that I was not self-aware. And that is something I think also, first of all, it had to do with my childhood, that I didn't really, it was like a protector. I couldn't feel my own feelings 100% because I had to be a parent for my parents in certain situations. But I think it also, dentistry doesn't help, because you have to be this strong person in front of your patients every day. So somewhere we stop knowing what our feelings are. When am I sad? When am I happy? What do I want? Because you're adapting to every patient, staff members. And so I can't really say what the first symptoms were. But when I get similar situation now, I feel that I'm not present. My husband can say something, and 5 seconds later, I'm asking something about what he just said. That's one of the first symptoms, that your brain shuts off certain parts of your brain. That's a survival reaction. When it gets too much, when you have too much stress, you start to forget things.
Yeah, I had a point in my career. I've been practicing for quite some time, and I was in a professional medical building adjacent to a hospital and really loved my office. And I went down to visit with the director of the building and was looking at renewing my option for another 5 years. And the guy said, well, I hate to tell you, John, but we need you to leave. We want your space. And so a year and 2 months out, we need your space. I'm going, really? And so here I was, Christina, probably 5-6 years away from retirement, and they're telling me you have to leave. And at first I was stunned, but then I immediately shift into the mode of, John, you've got to get busy. Because a year, even though it sounds like a long time, I had to go out and search for a place to have an office. And then, you know, have the plans drawn and get my equipment to make sure everything was, you know. And even though I had 14 months, I moved into my new office 1 month prior to the date with which they were going to take possession of my office. But in that time frame, Christina, I went from surprise to anger and then to a kind of a depressive state, because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. And my son was in practice with me. And if it hadn't have been for Philip, I don't know that I would have made it. In fact, I know I wouldn't have, because like you, I knew what needed to be done. And at first I was gung-ho and I was out there getting the things done and whatever. And then the real reality of it hit me, and I was fighting the notion of, John, you really don't want to do this, but you still love your practice. You love dentistry. But I was waking up in the morning and I wasn't looking forward to going to the office, because I knew that not only was it my practice that I was going to be working through, I was going to be working through the emotions of moving. And it became overwhelming. And I think that I was experiencing emotional and psychological burnout at that point, but I just didn't realize it. Although I knew it was very heavy and oppressive to me. It wasn't fun.
No, thank you for sharing. Yeah, it makes me go back to a quote that Eckhart Tolle, but he expresses stress is being here, but wanting to be there. It's like stress is not the same for everyone. You can have two people going through the same thing, but they see that the situation is totally differently. So it's when you're doing something that you don't want to do, that is causing you stress. So, I mean, let's say having 20 patients, for one person who wants to have 3 patients, that could be stressful. But for the other person who loves to have that rhythm, that's the greatest. So that's why the first important thing is self-awareness, that we teach our students to not lose contact with themselves. What treatments do I like? How do I want to work? We cannot push everyone into the same, you know, the play, the toy that we have for children. It's a star. It's a triangle. I had it when I was, I don't know if they choose that. It's like, it's like putting one star, but you try to push it into a circle. So we are all so different. We have our genius zones. We have our strengths or weaknesses. Like a high sensitive person is really good to have at the clinic as well. But that person have to be taught how to have these boundaries. And with those boundaries, hypersensitive person is really good because they feel what the patients need. For example, as a receptionist, it's great to have a hypersensitive person. She will be the best servant and the patients will feel calm and happy. So yeah, that's what I think is the main problem today. We have lost contact with ourselves, not only today, but the people who know what they want, what they don't want, what gives them energy, what takes energy from them, and they live a life aligned to those values, they are much happier than the people who struggle and continue with something that they don't like, that they don't know that they like. I didn't know that I didn't like to be a practice owner. I was afraid of conflicts. I didn't want to fire. I've never fired anyone. It was always like, and I'm not proud to say this, but I could not fire a person. So I held all these emotions inside me until I burst after several years. That's the worst way. But why did this happen? I had never seen in my home how you have a normal conflict solution. I had never seen it because they were always discussing and yelling, my mother and father. So I had never seen how you solve the problem in a good way. I hated negative. I still hate negative vibes and negative feelings. That's a superpower and weakness. I enter a room and I can feel the feelings of people immediately because I grew up in a family where there were all these feelings. So it is a superpower, but it is also so exhausting because imagine being a dentist and you have felt all these feelings from all of your patients during a day. It's exhausting.
You're right, it is. You go from patient to patient, and every patient has a very different emotional presence at that moment, and they have different emotional needs. And as we've seen these patients through time, we become aware of what they need, and we're the ones that adapt to them. And like you said, at the end of the day, you get exhausted. And a lot like you, I think, Christina, my growing up, my parents didn't ever fight, but I didn't ever see them going through a resolution process. And so I'm like you, I got into dental school and I knew what I wanted to do and whatever, but I get out there and it's kind of like, okay, how do I deal with this from a management standpoint or a business standpoint? How do I make these decisions? How do I resolve conflict with staff? I didn't know how to do it. And so I'm like you, you stuff it until boom, one day it burst out. But at the end of the day, we're exhausted because of the continual stress of every patient interaction. I like what you said, you know, your superpower is your ability to walk into an auditorium or when you're speaking to a group of dentists. I admire you for doing that and sharing your story with other people and creating awareness. But being able to walk into a room and immediately being able to sense the environmental emotions and what's going on in that. When you do that, Christina, and you're speaking to a group of people, antennas are up and you perceive it. What do you do with it at that point, moving forward for yourself personally, and how you're able to get up on the stage and then being up on the stage? What do you do with that information that you perceive? Because I think that's a very interesting and great thing that you shared there.
3 weeks ago, I had a lecture or course for dentists in Malaga. It was run by the Organization of Dentists, Association of Dentists. And before I started the course, I said to them, I'm here for you. So before I tell you my story and give you all the information, I want to hear your name, a funny thing about you, how many years you have been into dentistry, and why you chose to come to this course. Because the name of the course was How to Become a Happier Dentist. And there are not a lot of dentists who choose to go to a course like that, because we always prioritize the hard skills, the technical skills. And I noticed that when I asked them, and every dentist had these minutes to tell their story and their feelings, it was like, opening up Pandora's box. All of us need to be heard and seen. And dentists, they don't feel heard and seen. You ask a dentist, how are you? Have you been asked by a patient? Have you been asked, how are you? They take for granted that we'll drive our Ferraris and that everything is shiny. Yeah, so what happened there in that room is it took, I think about, there were like 20 dentists and it took about 40 minutes. And the energy, it was such a nice, loving energy. And I could start the course. I said, now we have already completed the course, but because you have already said about all things that I'm going to speak about today, they told about their burnouts, their struggling. So I think as soon as you ask the person about their feelings, I can feel the energy just get balanced. The tension is when you don't feel understood and you feel this anxiety, fear. But as soon as you ask, the person feels that you actually care, then their balance.
You know, that's interesting. That's a great thing that you ask them, the title, How to Become a Better Dentist, a Happier Dentist, and share with me how you're feeling. And you know, as medical professions, we're supposed to be on all the time, and our patients want us to be on all the time, and we want to be on all the time. But that's a lot of stress and pressure that we put on ourselves the minute we walk through the back door or the front door of our office to begin our day. And as we're walking through the day, there does become that point in time. Do any of you out there care how I feel? Would any of you dare please ask me how I feel? I want to share with somebody. And, you know, I come home in the evening after the end of the day, and I really don't want to share with my wife what the day was like, because as guys, you know, we have 5,000 words that we, and after that, we're done speaking for the day. Well, that's me. We women have something like 12,000 words a day. I think my wife has 20,000 words a day. And, you know, it's like I'm continually asking my patients, well, how are you? And I'm like you, Christina, never did I get the question back, well, how are you today, John? And the most absolute fun thing I did in my practice, Christina, was when I had a cosmetic dental practice and a lifestyle dental practice. And I loved it because it allowed me to into their world. And a lot of people came depressed and humiliated and exhausted from judgment. And they would come in for cosmetic work, and I wanted to know why they came. And so I would start the conversation. I'd say something like, Christina, please tell me your story. And just by asking that one question like that, as you said, I could just feel the temperature drop. I could see their posture become different. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
When we give people the opportunity to really share and open up about themselves, and they realize the sincerity of the moment, and there's no judgment, they become vulnerable. Everybody has a story, Christina, that they want to share. And I love the fact that you walked the plank out onto the very edge, and you're putting your story out there for one reason, to help other professions navigate the ornery waters that you did and let them know they're not alone. As you might notice, I'm making notes as you're speaking. And one of the things that I wrote down here is they don't want to share because they feel like they're the only one going through this, and they don't want to expose themselves. We want to preserve our humble integrity, but that integrity is being just chipped away at day by day by the burnout mode.
Yeah, and I think, if a dentist will tell somebody that they have a burnout or a patient, it's like, would we be fully understood? What would happen afterwards? That's why we don't take that step, because we already know, or we think we know the outcome of it. It's like something bad will happen. And if you say it to another dentist, it has to be a dentist you really feel secure with, because it could be that dentist says, well, no, I love every situation. I don't have any problem. And you feel like a loser, or like something's wrong with you. But in an environment where you feel safe, that is where the truth can come. That is where the real feelings can come. And that is, I want to take this book and these discussions much further than just speaking about my story and helping people to not feel alone. I want really to make a change in the world, like in the dental studies, because just as our brain develops the first 7 years, that's why our characteristics like people pleasing and perfectionist, not setting boundaries, all these things are set early in our lives. The same thing happens in dentistry, in my opinion. These characteristics, how we become dentists, depends on the dentist and the coaches, professors we have during the university. If we are lucky, we will get a good coach or mentor or dentist in real life as well. But as we know, we are forced into the real world and we just want to become good dentists. So those 5 years are so important. And imagine a dental school where the first day would be about you, the dentist, how to take care of yourself. How can you pour water from an empty bottle? The dentist becomes empty every day, or many dentists, because we have not been taught on how to fill up our energy. And how do we do it? It's just small things sometimes. Like when you have your lunch, go outside the clinic. Step outside. Because when you're sitting in this small area, you will have a cortisol production. Cortisol is produced when we are tense. We are tense when we are working in a small area where we have a tongue, where we know that if we do a mistake, we could drill a tongue or something and do a mistake. So we have this cortisol. So we have to teach our students how to lower the levels of cortisol by walking outside as soon as you can, by balancing the cortisol, magnesium, food with magnesium. They have seen how that lowers cortisol. Breath work, like between your patients, take deep breaths. Take deep breaths while you're working. We don't know if we're actually breathing when we are tense working. And during that course in Malaga, I was surprised because few of the dentists that were closer to retirement, they said, Christina, we feel more stressed now than when we were young dentists. So the stress doesn't have to do with if you're young, new one, without experience or with experience. It's more complex than that. And in the end, it has to do with how you take care of yourself.
I find that interesting that the dentist closer to retirement felt more stressed. Did they share why, Christina?
No, we didn't have time. I wanted to ask them so many questions, but then I would not come to my lecture because they opened up a lot. So, but they were, when they were working a lot, but I think when I have heard other dentists, I think your body and your mind, you have been working for so many years. You're still in these awkward positions. And I feel now I'm 46 and my level of stress, I cannot force myself to stress as I did when I was 30. Something has happened in me and I love it. I have more boundaries now because my mind can't stress like it was doing before. I don't know if it happened, if you have that experience as well.
At this point in my life, I do feel less stress. I retired 3 years ago, but you know, when I left my practice, Christina, I still loved dentistry. And I had a transformation in my practice back in 1988. And the transformation actually happened by accident when I did my first cosmetic case. And I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, but the case turned out beautiful. And you know, when I gave the patient the mirror, she immediately started sobbing. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what have I done? Because I really thought, I mean, she just immediately started sobbing, boo-hooing. It's like, it freaked me out. But then she bounded out of the chair real quick, came back to me and gave me a hug and buried her head in my shoulder and just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I went from paralysis from fear that I'd done something bad to this feeling of this is awesome
yeah.
in a matter of seconds. And that's when I realized, this is what I want to experience. So not knowing how it happened and occurred, that's what I had to figure out from that point. It took me a couple of years to integrate this and transition my practice, but I knew that that's what I wanted to experience. So dentistry became fun to where I really wanted, I would look forward to going to the office, quite honestly. And that was interesting. That was a real shift. That was a 180-degree shift because, as you know, when you get, when you start experiencing burnout and anxiety and stress and driving to the office, it's not a lot of fun. And when you look at your day and you go, gosh, I can't wait till 5 o'clock, but that's like 9 hours away. How am I going to endure the day? That's not a fun way to go to the practice. But I was finally able to create an environment and a mindset for myself that, gosh, I love this. But the stress, Christina, was still there of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned to manage my stress by being more open and vulnerable with my patients and my staff. But still, at the end of the day, there's that exhaustion and you walk out. It's something about walking in through those doors to begin the day that the cortisol just goes skyrockets.
I totally agree with you. And I did aesthetic works as well. And that feeling when the patients are happy is the most amazing. And those feelings, I went out to the receptionist and I was like, this is why I am a dentist. I love it. So, and that is where I feel and think that the struggles, we have these moments when the dopamine just, when we feel like almost God, like I have changed this person's life. And that feeling is so amazing. But then the other second, you have all these, especially if you're a clinic owner. And that's why things have happened to me that I thought it has to be a reason why I wrote this book now, because I had bad luck as well. But maybe I had this bad luck just so I would be pushed into writing this book and being where I am. I bought the scanner at 2012, before the pandemic, just right before the pandemic. So I bought this scanner because I wanted, my priority has always been the patients and to give the best quality. And I made the clinic like a spa. So there were these soft music and videos of the sea. So I wanted them to be calm because that also helped me to be calm. And they loved it. And they could listen to music. They could hold like a relaxed ball. I did everything so they would have a nice experience. But then, yeah, I bought this scanner and it gave problems. Every day, it was the technician. We had to call a technician to come. So you have these beautiful moments. And if it would be only that, that would be perfect. But you have these, like I said, this minefield, especially if you're a clinical owner. Things that happens each and every day, they could be small. It's like putting one drop in the bottle, one drop. And then after 20 years, it's like, I can't stand solving these stupid problems that I have not come with. But that's life. But in dentistry world, it could be thousands of small things. And somebody is like, oh, this filling broke. But I don't know if you were chewing a nut or a stone and it broke because of that. But we dentists have this tendency to blame ourselves. Okay, I will do it for free. Okay, I will do it for free. And it felt like I was like Mother Maria. I prefer maybe to go to like Africa and help out the people there. But this is a business I'm running. So and sometimes I felt like Jesus with the bread. Okay, I give you bread. And I will see if I have enough for me.
I was going to say, you give it all away and there's none for you.
Yeah, so many situations until it's like, I'm too old for this. I want to be in a happier place. So there was a lot of bad luck as well. I can say I had wonderful patients and patients that had been with me. I was at the same clinic for 19 years. The mistakes I did was I was too many hours there, and I had periods when I put the scrub on already at my home. I was in the car, and I just had to walk like 10 meters, and I was in my clinic. I was there like 8, 9 in the morning, and I went out from the Kegel 9, 10 in the evening. So, you know, I overdid things. I exaggerated. So if I compare with my best friend who's living in France, we studied together, but she has been very good with the boundaries. She says, Christina, if somebody's calling me 5 minutes after I've closed my clinic, I tell them, I don't know what a tooth is, call me tomorrow. So she's still loving it. It's like listening to your favorite song. If you listen to it now and then, you will love it for a long time. But if you listen to it 20 times a day, it will come to a point when you don't love it anymore. You won't stand it. And I think that is also, so there are a lot of explanations in my story. And I have not put all of this in the book because then I would never stop it. I think another book will come out later. But that is one thing I would say to the dentists who have this tendency to exaggerate like me. Because there are those that you can't lead it. You come home, you continue with the before and after pictures. I tried to get the marketing team doing it, but they were not doing the job as good as I did. So I was like, why do I pay you? I do it better.
The whole situation just becomes overwhelming. And, you know, when we decided at some point early in our life that we wanted to become a dentist, we really had no idea what was involved in the whole picture. No one really sits down with you and says, okay, Christina, I appreciate you looking at wanting to be a dentist, but let me share with you really what it's about. And we may still have decided to go into dentistry, but we would have been a little bit wiser. And, you know, have someone say, well, okay, as you're going through dental school, I'll be glad to mentor you in the psychology and the emotional component so that when you open your practice day one, you have some tools to deal with things that you right now cannot even imagine. And that is so true, wasn't it? That we face things that we never thought of. And we just get overwhelmed with it. And it's not too long into the practice that we're going, wow, what did we get ourselves into? But we still want to be there. And like you, I still wanted to navigate those waters. I knew there was something to dentistry. I felt like I had something to give to the profession, and I started sensing that, like you, you're changing people's lives with some of the more advanced dentistry. But also, I thoroughly enjoyed looking forward to the opportunity of asking someone to tell me their story and dive in a little deeper with them. And those were the rewarding moments that kept me coming back and looking forward to the next day. And, you know, I know that's what you're doing with your book, Christina. I know that that's what you're doing with your going out and speaking to the dental community. You're jumping in the waters, swimming upstream, starting, I don't want to say movement, but an awareness for dentists to say to themselves at some point when they get overwhelmed and they're burning out that you're not alone. Many other people have done this, and we've survived it, and we now have lives that we're enjoying and loving. Maybe not directly in dentistry pushing the handpiece, but we're still contributing to the profession and to people's lives. And I think that's the beauty of it. And that's why I was drawn to your message, Christina. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been a real pleasure visiting with you, Christina. I want you to let me know when your book is on the shelf. I will be looking at Amazon, and I will be checking your LinkedIn account because I know you will say, it's out, and let us know.
Yes.
I will get it immediately, and then we will connect again, okay?
Okay, perfect.
You know, we're kind of creatures of the same spirit here in dentistry, but also we're creatures of the same spirit of just wanting to continually help people and change their lives.
Yes.
Yeah, great job, Christina. I'm proud of you, even though I've only met you and spent this a little amount of time with you, but I'm very proud that you survived your burnout situation and that you've taken the courage and the bravery, and you're writing a book and putting it out there and inviting people to jump on board with you to help them heal and recreate their new lives. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's been a great conversation. So again, audience, I appreciate you being with us. I know that you will have gained something from this conversation. Christina has a great message. Go to LinkedIn and follow her information. When her book comes out, get her book and share her book with people and some friends of yours. You never know who you can help by doing so. So thank you very much, and we look forward to having you join us again.
Thank you.